Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. He said, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you indeed are suffering. For a few weeks now, we have been talking about what to do in the time of affliction. I've explained that faith is the most important thing in this life. If you are believing God, hold on to your faith. That's what the Bible calls patience. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I'm explaining here that what do you do between the time you receive the promise of God by faith and the time that promise is manifested? And we said, number one, you must endure. And endurance means that some things are difficult. Endurance means that things are challenging. You have many things to face up to in life that appear not to be cooperating with where you are going. That's why you need to endure. Paul said here in verse 4, he said that you have persecutions and afflictions which you endure. He said this endurance, that is this persecution and affliction, and your endurance is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. We have established what the kingdom of God means. It means that things are now working well. He said the kingdom of God rules over all. When Jesus was working miracles and doing mighty deeds, Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3. He said, Master, how come you are doing these things? Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. Why? Because except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God or even see it. What he was saying is that what you are seeing in my life is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that if I cast out demons from amongst you by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God indeed has come amongst you. That is, when you begin to solve problems that hitherto were difficult, it is because the kingdom of God is being manifested in your life. Joseph in Egypt manifested the kingdom of God. So endurance, we said, number one, is very important. Endurance means that you know that what God has planned or has promised is going to happen. That the situations in your environment do not at all indicate that you are a failure, but that you are going to endure so that you can step into the kingdom that God has prepared for you. That is, as you endure these persecutions, that you really actually receive the promise from God. I said number two, last week we discussed this, that while you are enduring, you must always get better. While you are in the midst of persecution and affliction, you must keep improving. If right now you are an employee, God has created that you will become an employer. Are you getting my point? And it's as you perform as an employee that decides how blessed you will be as an employer of labor. Are you getting my point? A lot of people make this mistake. They are looking for good jobs. God creates a small job for them. They have been queuing up in this particular company, hoping that they will employ them and pay them a lot of money. Meanwhile, God creates an opportunity that they have enough food to sustain themselves. Because we said, one of the things that God does for you in that period of affliction is that he sustains you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses explained that God made you hungry and he fed you with manna. That is, you were sustained, that you might understand that man does not live by bread alone. That is, God was helping you so that you'll be able to survive the wilderness period. So God opens a door for somebody and maybe he gets a small job that he earns little, but he's looking to that big one that will earn big. Because of the little he's earning right now, he's so unfaithful. Because he feels that, look, they are paying me only 10,000 naira a month or 20,000 naira a month. But my friends are walking just across the road. They are earning 150,000 naira a month. Why should this man demand so much from me when he's not paying as much as my friends over there are earning? Therefore, he's grumbling. Therefore, he's angry. Therefore, he's unfaithful. He does not know that with every day of unfaithfulness, he does not understand that with every day of dissatisfaction in that place, he disqualify himself for what great things he will be tomorrow. Listen to me, those who become great tomorrow were not great at the beginning. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. That is, a man's latter end cannot be predicted, all right, from the largeness of his beginning. You can't. If his beginning is small and God blesses him, his latter end shall greatly increase. I like the words that Samuel spoke to Saul when he came to correct him. He said, were you not small in your own eyes? Yet God made you. He made you king in Israel. That is, despite the fact that Saul was small in his eyes, yet God was able to raise him. So God said that since you are in a small place today and you are believing that I'm the one that will raise you, then you must be sowing the seeds for greatness. In the small place where you are, you must get better. You must become more faithful. You must become more skilled. If you don't understand the problems of poor pay, you will not be a good paying employer later. You are getting the logic of God here. And that's how it's working. He says, in time of affliction, you are believing God for promises. One, you must endure. Two, while you are enduring, what do? You keep on fine-tuning yourself. You keep on getting better. I explained last week that God can do what will normally take us 1,000 years. He could do it in one day. But what he's asking for is that how long will it take you to reorient your mind to begin to think like me? How long will it take you to reorient your mind that if I make you the founder of a company, it is not so that you two will become a big man. No, it's so that you will become one to bless the lives of multitudes that are going to work there. So that you will sustain that company, not primarily for your own personal gain, but so that those who are in there will be able to continue to have a job. I was in a conference recently, and one of my brethren was present there, and he made a statement. He said he owns a company, and he has looked at the investment opportunities in Nigeria and everything, and he realized that if he were to liquidate or sell off his company, all right, and take all the money he realized from it and put it into some forms of investment, he realizes how much more money he will be making than he's currently making. He said, but also he understands something, that means laying off people. That there are many people that work for him. Married people, single people, people that have responsibilities, people who are paying fees for other people. Are you getting my point? That they work for him. That's what he was saying, in effect. That if I close the company so that I can go and use the money to make more money somewhere else, I have removed livelihood from the lives of these people. He said, so even though I'm not making much money here, I will let the company thrive. Are you getting me? So that these people can have a place. All right? To get their daily bread from. And that's what it means to be a blessed man. I remember somebody I know some time ago, he had a small business he was doing. And the business wasn't making any money. So somebody said, why don't you close it down? He said, the reason why I can't close it down is though it's not making me any money, but it's making enough money to pay the people I employed. He said, so I'll leave it open. Because they can't do this business without me. It's a professional business. So he left it open so that the people working there will continue to receive a pay. All right? And so a time came in which they resigned because they had to go on to higher things. Because they were young people, they were not about to go back to school and all of that. As soon as they left, he closed the company. He said, why? He said, because I kept it open just because of them. Now they have gone, I have no more pressure inside me to keep it open. That is, this thing was working only to be a blessing to other people. Listen, if you begin to think like that, listen, God will not only give you a job, he will make you a creator of jobs, and the jobs you have created will continue to increase in life. Are you getting my point? Now, these mentalities, is it the time of affliction that God changes your mind into his own particular mindset? Now, so these are the issues we are saying. God is always changing our minds to become like his own so that he will be able to do the thing he wants to do in life through us. You are getting the point there. Now, another point I want to bring out here, that what you do in the time of affliction, and that's the issue that you must never become bitter. Now, you know, I said, one, you must become better. Two, you must avoid being bitter. Because bitterness and anger, that's one serious reason why God finds it hard to bless people. There was something that Jesus said once. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He said, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now, what I want you to understand from there is that, you see, afflictions are interesting in life. A lot of times, they are brought to you by people. When Jesus was going to be crucified, he was crucified in accordance with the purpose of God, with the plan of God for the salvation of mankind. But people had to crucify him. And that was the reason why, while he was being crucified, he turned to the Roman soldiers and said, forgive them, Lord, because they don't know what they are doing. Are you getting my point? He understood that he was being crucified not because of the desire of the people that were crucifying him, but because of the purpose of God. Now, if you understand that your life is actually in God's hands, you will never hold anger towards people in the time of your affliction. Because people, a lot of times, because of that anger in their hearts, they actually prevent God from blessing them. Like we read here from Mark 11:25, Jesus said that when you stand praying, it's important you forgive, because unforgiveness prevents God from blessing you. Are you getting the point I'm making here? And somebody explained this to me some time ago. He said one major reason why unforgiveness hinders faith, because if you see in Mark chapter 24, Jesus was just speaking. He said that if you believe, all right, now that's what he was saying. Anything you ask God for, believe that you have received it, he said, and you will receive it. He said, next, when you are praying, forgive. What he was saying in effect is that if you don't forgive, you can't believe. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Listen, the man who does not forgive cannot believe. I said something at the beginning of this series and in previous teachings. I said faith is the most important thing that God is asking for from you. That is, if you are going to do great things for God in life, first thing in that is that in your heart, you must believe that it can be done. If you see people who are so, now listen to this, who are so angry, who can't believe anything, the truth is that they are angry at people, therefore they can't believe great things in life. Let me explain what I'm saying. There are people that in this country today, every time their anger is towards past leaders, their anger is towards an uncle that didn't help them. Their anger is that their state was giving out scholarships. When it came to their turn, one corrupt politician chopped all the money and he never got it. That, for that reason, he was not able to go to the school he wanted to go to. So forever in life, he's angry with that man who ate his scholarship money. You are getting my point? So when you talk to such a man, listen to this. You tell him that no matter how bad the situation of the country might be, God can do great things for you in here. He can't believe it. Do you know why? Anger, unforgiveness is a spiritual force that works against the spirit of faith in the heart of people. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Now, so the unforgiveness is a spiritual force actually in the heart of the people, which prevents the spirit of faith from rising up inside them. If, for example, let me just give us an illustration that, which will help us to understand the way spiritual things work. When Jesus came to the earth, there were a group of people that couldn't believe him. No matter how much he preached or did miracles, they just could not believe. And those are the Pharisees, all right, and the Sadducees, most of them. They couldn't believe Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, what was the reason? It said it was because they refused the baptism of John. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You'll find that in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 29. The problem was that no matter how much they tried at that point, they just couldn't believe Jesus Christ because they had forsaken the baptism of John. And John was a forerunner, all right, for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to explain something here. So you see, you can preach to them, beat them over the head, do all kinds of miracles. The time that they should have prepared their hearts to believe had passed. You are getting what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to bring out here is this. God can't do anything for us in life except we are believing him and our faith is built up in God. Therefore, Jesus warned that when you come praying, make sure you forgive, because he understood and was trying to tell the disciples that unforgiveness is the major reason why your faith will not be built up. So the hypothetical young man I was giving earlier on, so this young man is angry with the man who chopped the scholarship money. And that was 20 years ago. So today you explain to him that great things can happen in this country. He can't believe it. He said, no, the government is useless. Nothing good will ever come out of this country. You try to explain to him. You show him live examples. Just as Jesus did miracles that the Pharisees could see. Instead of them using that to believe, they started saying, let us quickly go and kill Lazarus. Because if Lazarus doesn't die, everybody will believe. It didn't cross their minds that they too should believe. And you are getting my point? It's because a shadow had been dropped over their eyes. A veil had been sealed permanently over their hearts so that they couldn't accept the glory of Christ Jesus. When they even saw tangible manifestations, they fought against it. In the same manner, a man that will not believe, you might show him that, listen, look at this man. This has happened to him. God has blessed him in this land. You start looking for explanations. It is because his father knows somebody. It is because this one happened to him. It is because that one happened. He starts explaining away his own blessing. The primary reason was that in his heart lies unforgiveness. Are you getting my point? Listen again, I have seen talking to women. You see a young woman who loved a man, who spent her money on the young guy when he was very poor, and was believing that they were going to get married. Then suddenly, the young man breaks her heart. Now, she's angry with him. Are you getting my point? She has the guy in his heart, and she has not forgiven him. And for that reason, every good husband that comes her way, her faith can never receive them. Why? Because she's angry. Are you getting my point? The same thing happens to men also. I mean, you met this girl when you were in university. She was struggling. And you had some money. So you helped her finish school. Because you liked her so much. And you believe that when she finishes school, you are going to marry her. Then by the time she's finishing school, she starts singing another song. That the Holy Spirit began to minister to her. That actually, and then of course, all that one is story to tell you in many words. That, sir, I do not wish to marry you. Now, the last 2 or 3 years, you have been spending your money, spending your time, spending your energy. Now, here it is. The girl said, no, sir, I'm going another way. Let me tell you now, if you're in that kind of situation, forget. I said, one of the things that God has taught me listen times is that material things are temporal. They are just material things. They are not real. That is, the money you spent over the last 2 years is a spiritual substance actually that matters. God can give you double of that back. When you are spending material resources, you are actually investing in the realm of the spirit. So if you invested in the life of somebody out of love, the investment is not lost, spiritually speaking. The person may have gone away, but the person you did not invest in will come into your life as a manifestation of your spiritual investment. Are you getting my point? But then you will never receive that except you first remove that person from your heart by forgiveness. Instead of, you mentioned it, you said, look, forget that one. I have forgiven and I have forgotten her. Because you see, another thing about forgiveness is this. You actually cannot forgive except you understand that God is judge. Are you getting my point? Look, listen. You must understand that God is the one that will plead your case. And that's the reason why you will not hold any anger towards anybody. In the time of affliction, what am I talking about? One, endure. While you're enduring, get better. Number two, make sure you don't get bitter. Because the instrument for affliction, God has said it. The instrument for affliction are people. But you must never be angry at the people that God used in the time of affliction. Are you getting my point? I like one thing one man of God said once. He said he stole his things. He said, God, thank you. I am not the thief. That I'm one that his things have been stolen. So I'm not the thief. That is, by the virtue of that thanksgiving. Yes, I'm in a place of affliction right now. But I know that it's a spiritual substance. When Job lost everything, he said, the Lord gives, the Lord has taken away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God said, that is excuse to give him double. Because these are spiritual substances we are dealing with. I hope you are getting my point. In the time of affliction, which will come, don't forget. God said, without that affliction, you will not qualify for the kingdom. And that's what I'm emphasizing. Because Satan wants people to lose out. Remember what I said last week? That Jesus said that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That is, all the labor I have labored over you people, it will come to nothing if your faith fails. And Satan understands that. So he's working to make your faith fail. He said, therefore, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. Because if their faith fails, they have lost everything. All our labors over them for the last many years will come to nothing. Are you getting my point? So that's what we're talking about, what you do in the time of affliction. When Jesus died and left the disciples for a number of days, the people were so confused, they didn't know what to do. What do you do at such times? You don't start believing in another God because Jesus has left. You just sit down and be waiting. And Peter did something that some of us think that is because he didn't have faith. No, what he was doing was good. He said, guys, let's go and fish. Because right now, we're not doing anything. Instead of being idle, let's go and fish. At least that will keep us busy. And you will know that it was while they were fishing that the Lord came and met them. You are getting the point I'm making. So in the time of affliction, there are things you must do to prevent your faith from failing. And the last one we have examined now is that matter of unforgiveness. You must never have people in your heart refusing to forgive them because you think that it is from their hands that you expected something. If a man didn't help you, it was because God did not empower him to help. Do you get my point? No, that's just the way it is. When it was time for Jesus to be crucified, Jesus wasn't saying anything. Pilate looked at him and said, this man, you don't seem to get the point. Do you know I have the power to release you now? Jesus said, you are the one that don't get the point. You wouldn't have that power except it was given to you from above. So even though Pilate wanted to release him, he could not. There are people who want to help you and they can't. They want to help. But God has not given them the ability to help. That widow came to the king. He said, help, O Lord, my king. The king said, from where do I help you? I want to help you. He said, but from where do I help you? You are getting my point? That is why in life you must never be, no, this man promised that he'll give me a job as soon as I left school. The day I came, the man was not as if he didn't know me. The reason was because God has removed the ability to help you from him. You are getting the point I'm making? So please, that we should bear that one in mind. Unforgiveness hinders faith. And without faith, the thing that God wants to do will never be done. And the last point I want to make before I depart today is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. He said in verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. He said, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. He said, yet I will exult in the Lord. Verse 18, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He said, the Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. Now, Habakkuk was describing here the classic picture of a man in distress. If you look earlier, you will see he was actually even waiting for the trouble. He knew the trouble was coming. He said, these people are going to invade us. He said, but despite all the troubles that I am going to have, he said, one thing is this that I will continually do. He said, I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. That is, I will always be happy despite the things that I'm seeing right now. And you see, let me say something about joy. And that's how spiritual things are. They come out of understanding. If you understand what is going on, James said it like this. He said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. He said, because the trying of your faith is what works patience. Don't forget, without patience, you cannot inherit the promises of God. Therefore, when a man is in trials, it's funny, but as a man of understanding, God said, it is the time that he should rejoice. Are you getting my point? In fact, Jesus said that if you are not being tried, you should cry. And that is, he said, you should weep. Those of you who are happy now. What he was saying is that it is a sign that your faith is rising up against the natural things of life is that you step into trials. Therefore, he said, when you enter into trials, he said, rejoice. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. This is so important. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, it is with joy that you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You know what salvation means? Salvation is essentially the manifestation of that kingdom of God. Because what Jesus used to do was to save the sick. Literally in Greek, he would say, he saved all of them. That is, he was healing them. He now said that this is how you draw waters from the well of salvation, from the well of healing, from the well of prosperity, from the well of deliverance. He said, with joy. Because people who are not joyful, the time that God, this is interesting, but I said something earlier, that unforgiveness prevents us from believing. Do you understand? Lack of hope, that is, sadness and despondency also, they prevent us from seeing opportunities when they come. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make here. When a man is sad, when a man is depressed, listen, God will present to him an opportunity to be delivered and he will not take it. You know, many years ago when I was in, after I left university, I used to love hearing the word of God so much that I never played music. Because every opportunity I had with a set, I put in a message. Do you understand? But then one day, I think I was studying and I understood the scripture and many other things like this. And I realized that it's good to know the word of God. But if you don't rejoice in life, you also will not receive many things from God's hand. I now understood why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, it was a commandment. He said, rejoice. I say again to you, rejoice. Are you getting my point? Habakkuk is telling here that we are not saying rejoice when you get a new increase. We are not saying rejoice when everything is going on smoothly. He said, even though things are bad, rejoice. Do you know that was when I started buying music? Listen, to triumph doesn't mean to overcome. It means to celebrate victory. Are you getting my point? Then I realized that God was commanding Christians. You know, people go around grumbling every day. A young man came to me once and said, sir, why are you always happy? I didn't even understand what to tell him. I said, I am happy. I came to understand because I have hope. Are you getting my point? You know what's hope? That is, there is something I'm looking forward towards. There's something I know that God is going to do in my life. So right now, despite the fact that I have not experienced those things, I'm still happy. It's based on understanding that I am joyful. And I've come to understand that if I'm not joyful, I will not be able to tap into opportunities when they come. Are you getting my point? I have heard of a man. How did he employ somebody? The man walked into his office for an interview, or he saw the man. The guy was looking very happy. He looked at that man. What are you here for? He said, for interview. He said, give him that job. He said, why? He said, look at his spirit. This man will definitely lift up this company. The guy was happy. You can't sit down and you are employed. Somebody's coming for an interview. Even Jesus said it like this. When you are praying, when you are fasting, he said, anoint your eyes. Look happy. That's what he was trying to say. Maybe you are a boss. You want to employ somebody in a company and he walks in. He's looking very sad and depressed. He said, how is it with you? He said, sir, things have been very rough. Last 1 year, I've not had a job. In fact, I need this job so badly because if I don't get this job, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen to me, you will not employ him. You didn't set up your company to solve people's problems. I hope you know that. You set up your company to solve another set of problems in the society. The people who are working for you are supposed to help you solve the problems of society. You're not there to solve their own problems. So when a man comes with his problems, then you know that you don't want him. You say, oh, sorry, do you like me to help you with some money? You will give him some money, but go your way. I want a man who can work. But if a man comes exalted in heart, happy, you know this guy is, I mean, his outlook at life is bright. Something inside your spirit wants him. Those days, before LG bought over Goldstar, you understand? For those of you who understand what is going on in the realm of business, when people ask me, said, how are you? I said, life is good. I was saying that when I had next to nothing, and those were the days when most Nigerians were very, very poorly paid, including me. Are you getting my point? But I said, life is good. The man saying life is good, did he come in a good car? No. I came on a bike or came by public transport. But life is good. How do I know life is good? Because I know that, like I said, all we need to do is endure this season. The day of the kingdom of God is coming. Look, I'm recommending to everybody listening to me tonight. Listen. Go and buy a music set. Start buying good music. Praise worship is very good. But beyond that, buy some noise-making music that have edifying words. Don't buy music of those that say Nigeria is scatter, scatter. Nigeria is not scattering. Are you getting my point? I will not play. I can't rejoice when somebody is singing in my ear, Nigeria is scatter. When I hear Ego Better, yes, I will play the music. Because you see, the words you are hearing from that music, they are affecting your spirit. I know what I'm saying. They are affecting your spirit. You will be happy about life. When you see opportunities, you'll be able to tap into them. You see somebody going around grumbling, just that's a man who's not going far in life. A man said to me some time ago, he said that, look, why am I always so broke? I said, your problem is satisfaction. It's not money. I hope you're getting the point I'm making all this I'm saying. That a man goes around grumbling like Habakkuk said, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He said, the Lord is my strength. I mean, he said it like this. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The man who is not happy at life, you understand? Who's always, look, listen, in life you will have every reason to complain if you want to complain. There are so many negative things happening. At the same time, there are so many positive things happening. And more importantly, there are many more positive things to look to. Are you getting my point? The Bible said that for the joy that was set before him, you have to get that point. Jesus endured the cross. That is, the power with which he endured the cross was joy. Oh, you are not following what I'm saying. That is, the power with which he endured the cross was the joy that he was looking at. I like what the TGJ said. He said, some people, talking about women now, they are so sad and depressed in life, they believe that when they get married, they will be happy. He said, no man will marry you while you are sad and depressed. Because the man himself is looking for somebody to lift him up. He's not looking for an assignment. Are you getting my point? You want people to like you? Look happy. And listen, I found that this is just a practical tip. Start buying music tapes. You need it. Buy music CDs. Good praise worship. Not just worship that's very slow. I mean the one that demands that you dance. The one that demands that you jump up. I hope you have gotten my point, all things I've said. Now let me just summarize everything I've said so far so that we can get out of here for today. Don't forget, there are things to do in the time of affliction. Faith is a battle. Are you getting my point? As soon as you are believing God, the first thing you step into is affliction. And God said the way you respond, the way you handle your affliction is what qualifies you for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. We have seen that number one, you must learn to endure. And while you're enduring, you must get better. It's a constant repentance that converts 1,000 years to one day. We also said that while you are getting better, you must not be bitter towards anybody. Unforgiveness must not be in your heart. Everybody that has participated in making you afflicted, you forgive them and erase them from your heart. You look to God alone, knowing that in the time of promotion, in the time of the kingdom of God, the same way some people came and afflicted you, that's how some people will come and bless you. And last of all, we have seen, you must be joyful. Joyful at all times, because it is with joy that you draw waters from the well of salvation.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.